If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Welcome to CBS Mornings. I'm Nate Burleson.
And I'm Jerika Duncan.
And I'm Jamie Yukis.
It was a difficult Christmas weekend for thousands of Americans because of the latest COVID surge. Many travelers found themselves on epic yet exhausting journeys after infections among pilots, crew, and airline staff caused last-minute flight changes. From Friday to Sunday, more than 3,000 flights were canceled across the U.S. Hundreds more have already been canceled this morning. Jonathan Vigliotti is at LAX Airport in Los Angeles. Jonathan, good morning.
And good morning to you, Nate. Twice as many people traveled for Christmas this year compared to last year. Many people arrived to homes impacted by COVID. Some people couldn't even get home.
I think I felt pretty deflated, sort of dispirited.
Spending Christmas Eve alone in an airport hotel wasn't what Rohit Tawani had in mind for the holidays this year.
Midway through my first flight, got a notification that my connecting flight was canceled and that there were no other flights for the day. And the next earliest flight was going to be the following afternoon, which would mean that I was going to miss being at home for Christmas and miss Christmas Eve with my family.
Tawani was told his flight was canceled because of COVID-related airline crew shortages.
You know, it's frustrating that the pandemic still keeps affecting our lives in so many different ways, even 2 years out.
Tawani wasn't alone. More than 2,000 flights were canceled on Saturday and Sunday, in part due to COVID. United Airlines said the nationwide spike in Omicron cases this week has had a direct impact on our flight crews and the people who run our operation.
Omicron is the Grinch that stole Christmas from airline passengers.
Henry Hardeveldt is a travel industry analyst.
Airlines can't operate flights without the required number of pilots and flight attendants. Safety comes first.
And now, several airlines are calling on the CDC to update its COVID guidance for the fully vaccinated and reduce the quarantine isolation period from 10 days to 5 for those who have breakthrough cases.
The government approved this request for the healthcare industry. And honestly, if it's good enough for hospital workers, for nurses and doctors, I think it should be good enough for the airline industry as well.
It wasn't just trouble in the skies. The cruise ship industry is also facing COVID disruptions. Three cruise lines had outbreaks on board in the last week, with dozens of passengers testing positive and forced to quarantine.
You had to be fully vaccinated and you had to have a negative test 2 days before. I mean, what more could they do before you aborted the ship?
A lot of frustration. Hardeveldt says some of the best advice for travelers, especially if you're flying, is to sign up for text alerts. That way you'll be notified immediately if there are any disruptions to your plans, Jerika.
Text alerts and a lot of deep breathing. Jonathan Vigliotti, thank you. It's not just travel troubles threatening the holiday mood. The CDC says the average daily number of new COVID cases is surging to more than 176,000 people. That's the highest it's been in nearly a year. Nancy Chen is in New York City, where cases are skyrocketing to record numbers. Nancy, good morning.
Jerika, good morning to you. Cases are rising fast here in New York, particularly among children. State officials say pediatric hospitalizations have quadrupled since early December, and schools are also making changes. Students here at Columbia University will start next semester virtually, while testing remains a major challenge across the country.
The most popular item this holiday season, a COVID-19 test. From New York,
come on, test me.
to Los Angeles. Americans spent the weekend waiting in lines, with many unable to get tested.
Almost 2 hours.
I have a procedure that needs to be done, COVID testing before my procedure, and now they're telling us that they're not doing it anymore.
As cases spike in several states, major colleges and universities like Columbia, Yale, and UCLA are planning a virtual start to the next semester, while others like the University of Maryland and Northeastern will resume in-person classes in January, but recommend or mandate booster shots. The virus is also upending college football. The University of Miami withdrew from Friday's Sun Bowl due to an outbreak on the team, while two bowls scheduled for this week were canceled because of team withdrawals.
Given the sheer volume of number of cases that you see now every day, it goes up and up. The last weekly average was about 150,000, and it likely will go much higher.
On Sunday, Dr. Anthony Fauci said while the Omicron variant may cause less severe illness, Americans must not let their guards down.
We've got to be careful that we don't get complacent about that, because it might still lead to a lot of hospitalizations in the United States.
When asked about the nation's testing infrastructure, Dr. Fauci admitted it needed improvement and that those improvements may not come until January, when the Biden administration plans to send up to 500 million at-home tests to anyone who wants one, Nate.
Nancy, thank you so much. You always give us the information that we need. Speaking of that, joining us right now is Dr. Ashish Jha, Dean of Brown University's School of Public Health. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for joining us. Now that Christmas is behind us, what are your concerns with families gathering, family and friends gathering for the New Year's?
Yeah, you know, obviously a lot of infection happening around the country. What I'm worried about is people basically not being careful at this moment. I do think it's safe for people to gather, but the best way to do it is make sure everybody's vaccinated, at least all the adults are, and then use rapid tests if you can get them. That combination makes it much, much safer. I'm worried about people not only not doing that, but I'm also worried about large gatherings, which are just very difficult to pull off right now without causing a super spreader event. So doable to gather, but you got to be careful.
You know, I live in Los Angeles. I recently worked in Washington, D.C. I'm now here in New York City. You see these long lines around blocks of people trying to get tests. What do we need to do to improve the testing situation?
Yeah, first of all, this is not where we should be 2 years into the pandemic. I really think we have not done enough to set up a testing infrastructure our country needs, and I'm disappointed by that. What do we need to do? First of all, we need to ramp up our ability to get those rapid tests out. I was happy to see the president say that we're going to have 500 million tests available to Americans in January. Obviously, we all wish it had come in December. It would have made an enormous difference. We also just have to have these tests get cheaper over time, and I think that they should be widely available. At this point in the pandemic, we should not be at a point where it's hard to get a test.
Dr. Jha, Omicron is leading to so many breakthrough cases. What should people know, or what should we be telling folks who are already vaccinated and those who even have their boosters?
Yeah, this is what's really striking at this moment, is we are seeing breakthrough infections at pretty high numbers, less if you're boosted, but even among the boosted. The good news is if you're vaccinated, and particularly if you're boosted, the infections tend to be very, very mild, and they just tend to be more like a bad cold. So what I would say to folks who are vaccinated and boosted is try to be careful, avoid getting infected. But if you do, you're not going to end up getting particularly sick. The real problem is the fact that there's still a lot of Americans who are unvaccinated, and when they get infected, unfortunately, they're really ending up in the hospital at much, much higher rates. Mm. And that's what we have to pay attention to.
Dr. Jha, what is your view on the current isolation guidelines? Do you think we need an overhaul?
I do. You know, I understand the 10 days from the CDC, but I think that that's probably too long for vaccinated, particularly boosted people. My prescription on this has been that it should be shorter. It should be 5 days followed with a negative antigen test. So not just 5 days alone, because some people are still contagious after 5 days, but 5 days followed with a test that's negative should be pretty reasonable for letting people stop isolation.
I do have a question about those antigen tests. I've heard that sometimes you have to take multiple tests in order to get a result.
You know, most of the times you should not. I mean, again, if you don't, obviously there's how well you do the test, but they're pretty straightforward to use. They tell you whether you're contagious at that moment. So if you're gonna go visit someone, you may want to do serial tests to make sure you don't pick up the infection or turn positive over time. But they work pretty well.
That makes sense. Dr. Zishaw, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Christmas weekend brought some really brutal weather to the West. This is the scene in Seattle where up to 5 inches of snow made road conditions treacherous. As you see there, cars were sliding down hills and off the pavement. In Santa Barbara County, California, a rare tornado-like event on Christmas Day knocked down trees and damaged property. Luckily, no one was hurt. You rarely ever see that in California. Whiteout conditions also led to a 20-car pileup outside Reno, Nevada. More snow is expected today in the Sierra Nevada mountains. Meanwhile, Dallas had t-shirt weather for Christmas, and it's still very warm there this morning. The National Weather Service is warning of potentially record-breaking highs and a possible fire risk in parts of the South.
In Britain, Queen Elizabeth's annual Christmas broadcast also served as a tribute to Prince Philip, her husband of 73 years. This was Queen's first Christmas without Philip, who died in April.
Christmas can be hard for those who have lost loved ones. This year especially, I understand why. But for me, in the months since the death of my beloved Philip, I have drawn great comfort from the warmth and affection of the many tributes to his life and work. That mischievous, inquiring twinkle was as bright at the end as when I first set eyes on him. But life, of course, consists of final partings as well as first meetings. And as much as I and my family miss him, I know he would want us to enjoy Christmas.
The love of her life, that's for sure. The Queen has been largely out of the public eye since October when doctors encouraged her to rest. She spent Christmas at Windsor Castle outside of London with Prince Charles and his wife Camilla.
Well, the Queen and other world leaders are paying tribute to Archbishop Desmond Tutu. The anti-apartheid leader who inspired millions to challenge a racist government died Sunday. He was 90 years old. In a statement, the Queen said Tutu tirelessly championed human rights in South Africa and across the world. Former President Barack Obama hailed him as a moral compass. And President Biden and the First Lady spoke of the Archbishop's courage and warmth. Deborah Potta looks back at Tutu's extraordinary life.
The tiny clergyman with a twinkle in his eye, a massive laugh and a dance in his step. Born in the township of Klerksdorp, South Africa, Desmond Tutu went on to become a Nobel Peace Prize winner, a global campaigner for human rights, and a man who always spoke truth to power, whether it was a white racist regime or a corrupt African dictatorship. As South Africa's first black archbishop, he unhesitatingly used his office to bravely challenge the brutal racism of the country's apartheid rulers.
The primary violence, and white people don't want to hear this, the primary terrorism in this country comes from the government.
But equally, he could turn that righteous fury onto his own supporters. In 1985, Tutu fearlessly broke up an angry South African mob and prevented them from burning a man to death on suspicion of being an apartheid spy. When the dark days of racial hatred finally ended, and Tutu's longtime friend and former South African president Nelson Mandela was released from 27 years behind bars, the irrepressible arch, as he is affectionately known, could not hold back his joy.
Hey! Freedom is coming! Freedom is coming!
And it was Mandela who appointed his friend Tutu to lead South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission,
order, please,
a body tasked with uncovering the truth about the apartheid government's brutality. At times, it moved Tutu to tears. The business of dismantling apartheid was not all doom and gloom. Tutu had a self-deprecating sense of humor.
One lady said to me, "Hey, Bishop, if they do this when you come here, can you imagine what is going to happen when Nelson comes?"
Quick to crack a joke or break out into song and dance. The world is a little darker without him. He leaves behind a foundation committed to human rights. But his real legacy is the wonderful tale of how a diminutive pastor with a big laugh became a global conscience for the world. For CBS Mornings, Deborah Patter, Johannesburg.
You know, he really seemed to use his oppression to empathize with others. He was a huge advocate in the LGBTQ community as well. But my favorite book, The Book of Joy, is a book about Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama. And one thing he says in there is he says, we should ask, how are we? Because we should collectively all appreciate one another and each other's achievements.
That's right. I know at one point in his life he recognized that he had a powerful voice. And then he decided to use that voice as a proponent for nonviolence. You know, he once said, overwhelmed by the extent of evil. He said it was necessary to open the wound in order to cleanse it.
That's deep.
Incredible man. Between him and Nelson Mandela, they did so much for South Africa.
And that laugh.
Yeah.
Charming.
Light up a room.
Very memorable.
I'm CBS News correspondent Major Garrett, host of the podcast Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen. During the Cold War, FBI agent Robert Hansen traded classified secrets to the Kremlin in exchange for cash and jewels. In the podcast, you'll hear from Hansen's closest friends, family members, victims, and colleagues for the most comprehensive telling of who Robert Hansen really was. Binge the entire series now. Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen is available on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.